So we are now up to the Bible reading, which tonight is from James chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 through to 18. Well, it's not a big reading tonight, but there's a lot in here as there usually is with James. So James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So that is our Bible reading tonight, and we're looking at that and seeing the wisdom that we should want. Now when I was younger, I used to love reading. Often wasn't real stuff, it was fiction stuff. But I particularly loved reading The Lord of the Rings. I started reading these books when I was about 12. I started off with The Fellowship of the Ring. I loved it. So I read the second and the third books, and by the time I was 14, I'd overdone it and read the trilogy over 50 times. A little bit obsessive, probably not the best thing for me, but I loved it, and I would just get into these books, and it was amazing. I loved it growing up. And when I read these books, I loved the character Aragorn. He's the dude up there with the sword. And I loved Aragorn because he didn't have a bow and arrow. He didn't shoot people from a distance and be a bit of a wuss when there was a fight going on. He'd get in there and just fight face to face. He was a man. He was a good character. He was strong. That's what I liked about him when I started reading these books. But the more I read these books, the more I saw there was a depth to this character that I liked. He was a king who could have just told people what to do. But he continually put others before himself. He was somebody full of wisdom. Others would come and ask advice for him. He had depth of character. And then I realized that there was more to life than Lord of the Rings. There was a real world out there as well. And that God had blessed me with so many people in life who were wise. People who were parents, who were teachers, friends, people from church, people who were just from all over the place. These people had a depth that went beyond just doing heroic things. See, without depth, these people who do heroic things and just do that tend to be the sort of people that we can't put up with for very long. We want depth. We want wisdom. We want that in the people around us. And I think we aspire to have wisdom ourselves. Tonight, we read in James more about this quality of wisdom, which is an amazing quality that we should have, and it's something that we are called to have. Now, when we talk about wisdom, it seems like a simple thing. Some people think that you get wisdom by getting older. I keep telling Anna that my wisdom is increasing as my grey hairs do. Apparently, that's not wisdom, that's just my ego. Still not sold on that one, but you know, I'm still hanging on to it. Sometimes we wonder where we actually find wisdom. So I went to the source of all knowledge. I went to Google. And I asked Google this week how to get wise. There were some pretty interesting things that came up. There was a page called HuffPost, which had two articles, both on how to become wise, both written within 18 months of each other, and both completely negated each other. It was a bit confusing. They completely revised their list to be very different. Another website called Money Crusher. Didn't care about the whole person, but how to get rich. Is that wisdom? Just to have wealth, know how to handle your finances well. Is that wisdom? Other notable inclusions that Google gave me were from Psychology Today, a really reliable source called WikiHow. This was the best one. Hello, my name is Blog. I'm not sure why you'd go there. But these are places we look for wisdom. They seem like they could provide some sort of assistance, but it got very confusing because the more I looked at these things, the more I looked at these different forms of wisdom, whatever they might be, They clashed. They said different things. They'd been updated. There was no consistency to anything that I could see there. Money Crasher, how to handle wealth. WikiHow, a bunch of tips on how to change the way you think. HuffPost was so confused that they had started again 18 months later, but I thought wisdom was lasting. Why does it need to be revised within such a short period of time? When we look at that, I was starting to realize that wisdom isn't a simple thing. We need a reliable source for wisdom. We need something trustworthy to have wisdom. I think that sounds like a lot of effort now, though, to discern between all these things, to figure out what is actually wise. But do we not want wisdom? Is it not worth putting the time into? Do we not want to be wise about how we raise our children? Do we not want to be wise about whether we buy a house and when we buy a house? Do we not want to be wise in who we surround ourselves with? Do we not want to be wise in the course that we pursue in life? I think we want wisdom to be able to discern between these sorts of things. Wisdom is not a small thing. It's something that each one of us should desire. We should have a want for good wisdom. James shows us tonight two kinds of wisdom. He shows us one that is desirable, one that results in good things. And he shows us, on the other hand, a sort of wisdom which he calls it wisdom because that's what the people of the age call it, but it's one that causes a great deal of harm. So keep your Bibles open, and we'll go back to the start of our reading tonight in verse 13. And we read this: "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Now that verse there, that sets a tone for where we're going. That shows us a lot of insight into wisdom. We've been given a big clue here as to what wisdom looks like. Unfortunately for Money Crasher, where the object seems to be to destroy your stock market opponents, it doesn't align with what James refers to here as the meekness of wisdom. The sort of wise that James wants us to aspire to be, the wise person that James wants us to be, this person is someone who is wise, not because they have knowledge, not because they know more facts than the people around them, but they're wise not only because of what they know, but because of how they act as well. In some ways, you could say that James is telling us here to look back over the last 2.5 chapters of James that we've read, last 3 chapters really. Look back over that. James says, look at what I've written you. If you trust God, if you care for others because you know God has shown you more care than you could possibly imagine, if you don't show favoritism, if you actually live out what you believe and don't fall into hypocrisy, then that is on the right track for wisdom. That is the wisdom that James is talking about in chapter 3, verse 13. This is wisdom. That's what we want to aim for. But when we read that, when we read those words, it's so easy for those words to go in one ear and go out of the other. Because it seems as if the wisdom that James is coming from only comes from one source, which is the Bible, the place where God reveals himself to us. But it's easy then to walk outside, to go on Google, to talk to people, and be confronted with all sorts of other ideas on what is worthwhile and what is wise. And James realizes this. He knows that there's these alternative sorts of wisdom out there. And he goes on in verse 14 to 16 with some fairly confrontational stuff. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Anyone here ever been bitter with envy? There's times I have been.
Has any of us taken the time to look at, or maybe just notice what other people have? Whether it's the friends, the money, the house, the lifestyle, the car. And all of a sudden we've got this envious attitude. And it grows to not just be envious and wanting what they have, it becomes bitter. They don't deserve that. He has not worked as hard as I have. Why do they get all the good things? What about me? We think like Shannon Knoll sometimes, don't we? It isn't fair. I've had enough and I want my share. I know it's a cover, but it summarizes how we feel when we have this bitter envy growing inside of us. We want what we think we're entitled to. We want it now. To see somebody else have something that I want is not right, and I need to figure out how to get that for myself. I think we fall into that sort of thinking a bit. In this one scenario, we find that we have an issue not only with bitter envy, but we also have a real and a genuine struggle with being self-serving as well, because that is all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I think I'm entitled to and what I can do to get those things that I want. James tells us that many consider this to be wisdom. It's pretty wise that 2,000 years ago he picked up on something which is the same today. The same attitude continues today. And we see that this does not come from a place that is pure. It does not come from a place that is particularly knowledgeable either. If wisdom is putting knowledge into practice, then we need to have a reliable source what informs our wisdom. True wisdom comes down from above, we read in James chapter 1. This sort of wisdom that we're talking about at the moment, this bitter envy with self-seeking, that James says it doesn't come down from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic, it's as far away from God as we could imagine. True knowledge comes from God, the Father, who never changes and provides us with every good and perfect gift. We should want that wisdom. Because without that knowledge of God, without that knowledge of God that can change the way we live our lives because God changes us by his grace, then all the knowledge we might accrue elsewhere and put into practice is a wisdom that just does not cut it. In the book of Romans in chapter 1, Paul, who writes to the Christians in Rome, talks about how men, all people, when we don't have a love for God stirred up inside of us, we deny the truth. How can we be wise if we deny the truth? If we need knowledge, knowledge has to be true, but if we deny it, we cannot be wise. See, James refers to this as wisdom because that's how it's commonly understood, but we see that this is not wise. Wisdom is a knowledge of God who is true and pure and righteous and just, and then taking what we know of God and putting that into practice, just like James has spent three chapters to now talking about. This is why when James writes to people, he's writing to Christians who are struggling, but they know God. This is why when James writes to these people, he tells them the teachings of Jesus to love your neighbor as yourself. He tells us to care for the widows and the orphans, those who can't care about themselves. He shows us that wisdom doesn't have a focus on us, it has a focus on God first and how that impacts the way in which we act. He takes what we know of the character of God and how God has acted towards us, showing us grace when we're entirely undeserving of that grace, and says, if you want to be wise, you put that into practice. That is wisdom. That is wisdom that originates from the Bible. from God's word. This book that contains all that we need to know about God. Some people might look at this though and say, that's not wise. It's foolish. It's foolish to put yourself out there for the sake of somebody else. Money Crasher would tell us that. Hello, My Name Is Blog certainly tells us that. They tell us, look after number one. Look after number one. Only when you're looked after by yourself can you consider, even consider, looking after the people around you. But again, this sort of wisdom is not from God. This sort of wisdom is twisted. We're designed to be relational beings. We're designed to be in relationship with God and with each other. But if we're content with the so-called wisdom of verses 14 to 16, then we're left with a wisdom that cuts us off from all of those things that we're meant to be. It cuts us off from God. As James says, for where envy and self-seeking are, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is not a good direction. That's why I like verses 17 and 18. It shows us an alternative. Sorry about last week's slides still being in there. It shows us an alternative here. We read here, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This passage we're looking at tonight is set up almost in an encouragement sandwich sort of way. We have the good goal at the beginning in verse 13. Then we have the thing to avoid in the middle, but then we finish off with these awesome words of encouragement here. Encouragement which again takes us back to God. It says it's not about what you can do for yourself, it's turning to God, trusting God for wisdom. And compared to what we do on our own, compared to what we can achieve knowledge-wise or wisdom-based on our own, James clearly shows us that the wisdom we gain in the world, away from God and his word, is not right. But if we are trusting in God, then what we are left with is true wisdom. Again, it's not earned by us, it's given by God, and it is pure. It is not self-seeking. It is not bitter envy. It is entirely undefiled. James tells us, as we go through here, that it is peaceable. The wisdom that is from above, that is from God, is peaceable. Peace follows on from purity. And the peace depends on purity that can only come from God. God who promises us in Luke chapter 2, just before the birth of Jesus, when the angels appear to the shepherds in the field, that there will be peace on earth and goodwill with God, with those whom God is well pleased. Apart from God and turning to him and trusting him, there cannot be peace. Anyone who's truly wise does what they can to preserve peace and to make peace. That might be in families. It might be in churches. Whatever settings we find ourselves in, wisdom from above, this heavenly wisdom results in us being peaceable. It's gentle. We won't always dig our heels in and claim everything that we can. It's not being angry about having the right opinion. It's not rude or harsh or overbearing. We keep going through this list and we see more and more reasons to trust in this wisdom from God rather than earthly wisdom. It is wonderful to see these things. Not wonderful in a vacuous, empty, we'll use it as an adjective way. This is wonderful because it has substance here. This wisdom that God gives us makes us realize that we are broken people, but even though we are broken people, God still fills us with what is good. goes on to include willing to yield. Again, not being so caught up in being right that we just have a complete inability to say, you know what, you're right. Where we can acknowledge that we're not right on different issues. Full of mercy and good fruits. How can that come from anywhere other than God? What source of wisdom here on earth encourages us to live in this way and actually enables us to live in this way? For some things, it can be helpful to use those things that do turn up on Google. But what we need to remember is that wisdom, true wisdom, is not just knowledge. If we want to be wise, if we want to be able to discern how to live lives that are wholesome and good, then we need what only God can give to us. In chapter 1 of James, God says to us that if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask God and he gives liberally and without reproach. Are we happy with messy, envious, this self-centered, pale imitation of wisdom that the world offers? Do we want what God offers? Will we continue to turn to God? Continue to ask him to make us wise, to recognize that we are broken, that we are sinful people before him, but that by his grace he can change us, that by his grace he has redeemed us, and that by his grace he continues to work in us when we trust him that we might be wise. Will we continue to ask God to change us into people who sow righteousness in peace, that he might use us to shine his glory to the world around us, to bring people who, like us at one point in time, were his enemies, to be his friends? Wisdom isn't about putting ourselves ahead. Wisdom is about trusting God, doing those things that God commands us to do, so that others might know him too, because there is no better place to be than with our great God.